But I want to bring a message this evening called Five Clear Points of the Gospel. Five Clear Points of the Gospel. Read verses 16 and 17 in Romans 1 with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The apostle here says that he's not ashamed of the gospel. Whether he was in Rome or whether he's in Jerusalem or Corinth, wherever he was at, he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Christ crucified. Not ashamed of the cross. Now you got to understand that when he was preaching, the Jews, all they had was the law. All they had was Moses. They was interested in what Moses had to say. They was interested in the law. They was interested in a righteousness by their own works. And then the Greeks, Corinth and that, they had their philosophy and they had multitude of gods. And all their gods were half man and half God. And so wherever Paul went, everybody had a different kind of a God. And so that's why he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to talk about a man who came into this world, sinless man, a holy man, a perfect man. And that man, because I was such a sinner, that it took that man going to a cross, bearing my sin, to make me acceptable to God. And that's why everywhere he went, he either had a revival or a riot. With no middle ground. No middle ground. And oh, he wasn't ashamed of the cross of Christ. He wasn't ashamed of the sacrifice of his blessed Lord. He wasn't ashamed that that's what it took to save you from his sin. And so for many of the gospel, I know I hear a lot of people talk about the gospel, and a lot of folks on the radio at home, and the gospel they preach, I would be ashamed of it. I am ashamed of it. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with the gospel that gets you saved back there under Arminianism, and then you just learn the doctrines of grace later. I don't want nothing to do. Get saved under a false message and then come to a greater understanding later. Either the gospel and salvation is through Christ and him crucified. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed. So if a man ever gets saved, he's going to get saved by hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Do we really know the gospel? I believe there's some here that do. And if there ain't, I hope I can preach it tonight. And God helping me, I want to give you five clear points of the gospel. And I say it this way, that these are essential, that the Holy Spirit reveal these things if a sinner is ever saved, and if he gets any comfort and if he gets any assurance. First thing of the clear point of the gospel is the gospel's definitive. Look what he said in verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed. And here's the definition of the gospel. The gospel of Christ. It's defined. The gospel's not vague. We don't have to search around for the gospel. The gospel is defined. It's definitive. It's called the gospel of Christ. The gospel isn't something that we have to guess at. It isn't just a bunch of people getting together and doing a bunch of testimonies, standing up and tell how bad they were and how much Jesus changed them for being how bad they were. That's not the gospel. And I tell you, it's not us talking about a subjective experience that we had. The gospel's defined. It's called the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ. And that's why that's what it's called. We talk about the gospel of Christ. Look over here in chapter 1 with me. In Romans chapter 1, look what it says here in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Listen to it. Separated unto the gospel of God. Now leave out the parentheses and go on down. It says the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God. Where did he start this gospel at? He promised this gospel. And this gospel was written before about in the scriptures and the prophecies of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of, is God's message concerning his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God means to tell us and wants us to understand the gospel concerns his son, his blessed person. Now, when if somebody asked me to describe somebody that I know real, real well, you know what I do when I describe them? I describe their nature. I describe their character. I describe the way they are, the way they treat people, how kind they are, how gracious they are. I don't describe what they look like. I describe how they are, the way I see them. And that's what we do in preaching the gospel. We describe a person. We describe a person who is full of grace, a person full of love, a person full of compassion, a person full of power, a person full of pity, a person that's got love that's beyond comprehension. We describe a blessed person, a person who went about finding people like you and me and seeking us out. And when he found us, he called us by his blessed grace. And then when he found us, he saved us and washed us in his blood. And when he found us, he put us on his shoulder and carried us sheep out of the wilderness. And I'll tell you something else. He ain't put me down off his shoulder yet. He said on his shoulder is the government. Got the government of the world on one shoulder and his sheep on the other. And he's big enough to carry all of it. That's the kind of person I'm talking about. Huh? Oh my, not only his person. What a blessed person he is. And how old Maurice Montgomery used to say, hug up to him. That's the kind of person we're talking about. A person you can hug up to. A person you can touch. A person you can embrace. A person that kisses you and you can kiss him back. You can feel his heart. You can feel his heartbeat. You can feel his love for you. You can feel his compassion for you. Oh, listen. And then he talks about his work. Don handled that work so well. And here's another thing about why Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. People say, I'm going to trust the finished work of Christ. I don't. I don't trust the finished work of Christ. I trust Christ who finished the work. That's a big difference, ain't there? There's a big difference there. You see, it's not how long he was on the cross, it was who was on that cross. It's not how much blood was shed on that cross, it was whose blood that was shed. And so, beloved, the gospel of God declares him. Him. Oh my, it sets him forth. He's declared to be the Son of God. And oh, any gospel that doesn't set forth the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to say in all of his fullness, but we ain't begun to tell how, we ain't even touched the hem of the garment yet. But oh, that if it doesn't set forth Christ according to what that person knows about Christ, it's no gospel at all. And it has no power to save. And that's why we want to know the gospel. Love the gospel. Need the gospel. And here's the second point of the gospel. Second clear point of the gospel. First is, it's defined. It's called the gospel of Christ. The second thing is, the gospel's objective. Look what it says again in verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now watch this. For it is the power of God unto salvation. What is? The gospel is. It. The gospel is. The gospel is an objective message. We set forth a gospel. And it's not a subjective message. It's not how we're not trying to manipulate people. We're not trying to entice people. We're not trying to get people to react in a certain way. The gospel has something to do with what God did outside of us when he sent his son into this world. The gospel's objective. Huh? And the gospel in and of itself is the power of God in the Holy Ghost. And who he sends it to is the power of God unto salvation. I'll tell you all a true story. And maybe some of you have heard it. Years and years and years ago, I remember going to visit a preacher in Ashland, Kentucky. And first time I went and seen him, it's wonderful. Called me chubby and sent me home with a book. Said, learn that and you'll learn the gospel. Second time I went to see him, I was in a meeting up in West Virginia, and me and Tommy Robbins came down to see him. And I thought, boy, I'm one of the most spiritual fellows, you know. I've done been preaching around, been here yonder and about. And I said, I sat down across from his desk, and I sat and I looked, you know, and he's looking at me, and I said, I know it's, Brother Mahan, it's our tears, the gospel soaked in our tears. Henry slapped his hands and put his finger in my face and said, it's just the gospel, whether you ever shed a tear or not. And that's when I learned the gospel's the power of God. Not whether I cry over it or you cry over it or anybody cries over it. Now, ain't that right? It's the gospel that's the power of God. And it's not in our power, not in how hard we preach or how good we preach or how impressive we preach or how many scriptures we quote. The gospel is the power of God. It is. It is. He doesn't say that the Holy Spirit is the power of God, but the gospel is. But the gospel and the power of the Spirit, his sword, that's what he uses to save sinners. Will you all look at some scriptures with me? Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I tell you what, when I walked out of that office that day, I was so shook up and ashamed of myself and so embarrassed and so low of myself that I couldn't even drive. I had to have somebody else drive. And I'll tell you something about that dear old, that dear old man, 92 now, and his wife, they still go to service, every service. Still go to services. And have to climb up long steps to get there. Oh, what an example they've been. And you know, we pull up in nice cars, walk down nice, and he has to climb in those stairs. And they're there every service. You know why? Because the gospel did for him what it does for everybody. And they want to be that way when they get that old, if they can, don't they? Amen. Well, look what it says over here in 1 Peter 1:23, talking about the gospel being the power of God. Second clear point of the gospel. Look what he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What's the incorruptible seed? The Word of God. How long does it live? Forever. And all flesh, this is what we are. The gospel abides and lives forever. The seed of God, the word of God. But man, he's just grass. And all the flower of the grass withers and the fire falleth away. We just fading away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now listen to it. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Huh? Oh my. You see, it's the preaching of the gospel set forth by the Holy Spirit objectively that God's pleased to save sinners with. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, let me tell you what, you think about this. I'm not a bit different than anybody sitting in this building this morning, this evening. You couldn't turn the hand, the difference between any of us. None of us. So that's why it's called, please God, by the foolishness of preaching. God takes one sinner to tell another sinner, a fallen man to tell another fallen man, a weak man to tell other weak people, helpless people to tell other helpless people, how God saves a sinner. That's why it's called foolishness, because look who's doing it. Huh? And oh, now here's a third clear point of the gospel. The gospel is effective. Again, in Romans 1:16. Not only it is the gospel objective, it. But look what it says here. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And let's talk about God's power. The power of God's effectual. It's effective. It actually truly saves. And when the gospel comes to a person in power, there's no power like it. No power like it. It comes, and when it comes to you, that if I understand this right, you all tell me if I'm wrong, but don't this word mean dynamos or dynamite? Now, when the gospel comes to you in power, it blows up your false religion. It blows up your payhouse. It blows up your self-righteousness. It blows up your hope in self. It blows up your righteousness by the law. It blows up everything but what God will do to save you from your sin. It blows up everything except everything that's not like Christ. It's going to blow it up. It blew up my little old false profession. It'll blow it up. I mean, it'll blow up your self-righteousness. And they know, I tell you what, we'll come to a gospel service like this here, and you think you got rid of all your self-righteousness? No, no. That's why we come and hear the gospel over and over and over again. Because we know so much is wrong with us that we got to have it from faith to faith. From the faith it brings when you hear it to the faith that you'll last day you'll hear it and you go be with Christ. Oh my. And even though it's the power, no power like it. Multitudes perish because to them it's foolishness. And I tell you, it's so powerful. The gospel is so powerful that it don't need no help. Don't need no help. Don't need no help. It don't need no cooperation. Don't need your will to approve of it. Don't need your assent even to it. It's the gospel itself. It's God's power. And bless His holy name. What makes the gospel so effectual? What makes the gospel so effective? Look what it says in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith, the day you heard it, from the day you believed, and every time you come, the gospel continues to produce that faith in you. You know when you have the most assurance you ever have is when you're listening to the gospel. When you're hearing the gospel and hearing somebody set forth the gospel, you sit back and you relax and you rest and you enjoy it and you forget the world and you forget what's going on out there and you come here and for just a little while God takes everything away from you and you sit there and that faith starts working. That faith of Christ in you starts responding to Christ in the gospel. And oh, there's nothing like it. But oh, listen, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This is what makes it powerful. Here's the message. Though all are sinners, cannot deny that, born in sin, death in us, ruined from our mother's womb, ungodly, enmity in our hearts against God, guilty before God, deserving eternal ruin, and deserving the wrath of God upon us, but yet God, in His great love, wherewith He loved us, sent His blessed, holy, glorious Son into this world. And He sent Him here with one purpose: to bear His people's sins in His own body on the tree. To be the innocent for the guilty, the just for the unjust. And He did that, beloved, and you know why He did it? That He might bring us to God. We can't get there if He don't bring us. He got to come and get us and bring us. And oh, beloved, and He took His people's sins and He carried them all the way. Talk about the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Talk about the sacrifices. Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself once in the end of the world. Talking about perfecting, he hath perfected forever them that are who? Sanctified. Oh my. And I tell you, he delivered these sins, and he delivered them to judgment. To judgment. And when he come out of that tomb, he brought with him righteousness and justification for all his people. And guess what? He gives it to them freely. Being justified freely by his grace. Freely. Freely. And oh, this is one of Don's favorite verses of Scripture. Wonder what it would be.
That's it. 2 Corinthians
5. Yep, 5:21. God made him. God did this. Only God could make a man. A man who knew no sin, had no sin, did no sin, thought no sin. God made him to be sin. And when he did, he put him to death. And when he put him to death, he put me to death. When he punished him for sin, he punished me for sin. When he bore the wrath of God, I bore the wrath of God. When his judgment fell on him, judgment fell on me. Judgment fell on me. And then he turns around and takes the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ, the very righteousness of God, and gives that to us. Says, there you are. I'm one of them shining ones that they find in the Scriptures. I'm one of them shining ones that they talk about in the Scriptures. You say, you don't look very shining to me. You don't see me like God does. I look at, whoo, my goodness, you hurt my eyes, y'all shining so much. That's what the gospel does. It makes you understand. You know, old Bunyan, when he got through that straight gate, old Christian and faithful, and they started up through there, and they got through that wicked gate, and he started up the mountain, and Moses beat him with his rod till he come back down off the mountain, and he finally got through the straight gate, and he got down that narrow way, and he come to a cross. And he saw one up on that cross, that bleeding cross, and he said, and when we viewed him, he said, my burden fell off my back. And it rolled away into a tomb. And old Faithful said to me, he said, oh my, I said, oh, I never, you're so beautiful. Look what dress you got on. I never seen such a beautiful dress. Oh, that thing shines so much. He said, me? Well, look at you. You're the one that's shining. And that's the way we see grace. Grace in other people makes them shine. Oh my, and every one of us under God shine like the sun. We're shining ones. Huh? Oh, you said that tonight. Said that one of them fellows met Cornelius. One of them fellows come to me one. And listen, I'm not saying it. But I'm one of them shining ones. And are you one of them shining ones? That's what the gospel does for you, huh? The justifying righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Here's my fourth clear point of the gospel. The gospel is elective. The gospel is elective. Look what it says here. For it's the power of God. The power of God unto salvation. Now when you talk about it being the power of God, that means man don't have anything to do with it. It's not of man. You see, the gospel is God's. It's his message. It's God's message. And when we go through the Scriptures, God teaches us over and over and over that this is what we're to talk about. That's what we're to talk about. It's His message. And it's His Son. And it's His work. He said, Father, the hour has come. I have finished the work. I finished the work that you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And oh, listen, then our Lord Jesus Christ went down and started talking about all. Seven times, it says, those that thou hast given me. He said, and I pray, not for the world, but them that thou hast given me out of the world. And I tell you, his Son, his work, and the Lord Jesus, who came into this world, who lived in this world, who died in this world, and rose again in this world. And why did he do it? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now why in the world, and Tim James come up with this one time, he said, why in the world would he call him a Savior if he can't save you? Why would you say he's a Savior if he can't save you? And they say, won't you accept Jesus as your Savior? Well, if he's your Savior, you don't have to accept him. He came to save his people from their sins. And you one of his people? I'm one of his people. How do I know I'm one of his people? Because he gave me faith through the gospel. He gave me the ability to believe in the gospel. And he came to save his people from their sins. People say, you don't want to go to hell, do you? Nobody wants to go to hell if they got any sins. But it doesn't say here that Christ died to save you from hell. He died to save you from sin. Sin's man's problem. Now, every one of y'all got little kids in here. Some of y'all got little kids, and one of the first words they learn, no. No. Why do they do that? You didn't teach them that, and you're trying to break them from that. And we went through our lives saying, no, 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 no. And God come along in the gospel, and we said, yes. Even the day of his power. He said, we threw up hands and said, I'm willing. Are you willing? Yes, I'm willing. Are you willing tonight? I'm willing to be his tonight. Are you? I'll be his tomorrow. I'm willing. Oh, I'm so willing to be his. Oh, my. And then he says, herein doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. Huh? And I know my sheep and am known of mine. And my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. My father-in-law just died September the 2nd, 93 and a half years old. He was 75 years old when God saved him. Sitting on the second row, I got through preaching on the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. I was stepping down out of the pulpit like this, and he stood up and said, Donnie. I said, what? He said, I heard his voice today. That whole church about went to their knees rejoicing. 75. And the Lord just called him home when he's 93. There's a fellow that went in at 6, 9, 12, 3, 5, and 6. He's one of them 6 hours. He come in at 6 o'clock. But he got just as much as a fellow started at 6 in the morning. That's what I love about the gospel. I love it like that, don't you? Oh, listen, we all going to get the same thing. We all believe the same gospel. We all trust the same Christ. We all have the same righteousness. And none of us are going to get any more when we get to glory than what we've got right now. We're just going to change positions and not take his old rotten body with us. Well, you see, the gospel is elective. Christ died for his people. The gospel was God's to purpose. The gospel is God's to perform. The gospel is God's to proclaim. The gospel is God's to apply. The gospel consistently, by its message, sets forth the salvation of the people of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Huh? You know what? You know what they're called? Look with me in Ephesians chapter 1. No, 2 Timothy 1. You know what they're called? Sheep? They're called the elect. They're called the elect. They're called the people of God. They're called the children. They're called sons. They're called beloved. They're called vessels of mercy. They're called precious. They're called jewels. God's got a lot of names to call His children by. A lot of names to call His children by. But look what He said here in verse 9. Talking about these are the ones the gospel declares Christ died for. And this is the verse of scripture God taught me the gospel with right here. Who hath saved us. Do you notice everything about our salvation's in the past tense? It's all in the past tense. He had. And look what He says here. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works. I love it. But according to His own purpose and grace. Oh my, God had a purpose and had grace. And when was it given to us? In Christ Jesus. Before the world began. My soul. I love it. Grace given us in Christ before the world began. And He was on purpose. We was the last ones to find out when we heard the gospel and believed the gospel. We was the last one to find out. Ain't that right? God had all His purpose for us, and then we found it out. Long, you know, it's always been that way, but we's the last one to know. Oh my. The gospel is the power of God to apply, and He applies it to whom He will. The purpose of God according to election, not of works, not of works. And here's my fifth point, clear point of the gospel. My fifth clear point of the gospel. The gospel is redemptive. Is redemptive. Look what it says in verse 16 again. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. Listen to this. Unto salvation. Unto salvation. And what happens, beloved? The gospel actually saves. It actually saves. It really, really saves. And here's the thing about saving a sinner. When God saves a sinner, He saves him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, from the inside of his soul to the outside of his skin. And He saves him until He draws his last, and he's in his last day on this earth. And then as the old preacher used to say, then he'll be plumb saved. Plumb saved. That you want to be plumb saved. Huh? I tell you, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. A wonderful thing to watch a believer leave this world. It's a wonderful thing to watch somebody not afraid to know they're going to go, know they're going to leave this world, and lay down in the bed, not knowing if they'll wake up in the morning or not, and say, that's all right. That's all right. You know why? Because the gospel saves. The gospel will give you the comfort you need to lay down and trust Christ no matter what goes on in your life. I mean, the gospel does that for you. Because Christ laid down His life to redeem us, to buy us, to pay our debt. He suffered the wrath of God against sin. And that by His death and the shedding of His blood, God would and God could justly Deliver us from death, deliver us from sin, deliver us from condemnation. And I tell you what, there's two words to me that really, really sum up the gospel in my way of thinking. I gave you five clear points, but my way of thinking is substitution and satisfaction. You've got to have somebody to face God for you. You can't face Him by yourself. And Christ faced God for us, for the people that was given to Him in that blessed covenant of grace. And when He faced God for us and bore our sins before God, suffered death where we desired to suffer death, but He suffered death and we died with Him. And then the second word is satisfaction. He satisfied God, satisfied His justice, honored His law, soaked up all of His wrath so that there's none left for us. And He satisfied God. And when you understand that God is satisfied with Him, then you never look no place else but to Him. Ain't that right? That'll do. Lay down. Satisfaction. I've said this a lot of times. If you lay down, you know, make Christ satisfaction to be your pillow. Oh, I got to face God. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. They said I'm going to die in the next month. God's satisfied. So what do I got to fear? Huh? God's satisfied. Ain't that right, Brucey? Oh, God's satisfied. Dawson, did you know, when you lay down at night, you think of that. God's satisfied. I can face Him. Not because He's satisfied with me, but bless His holy name. He's satisfied with His blessed Son. Amen? Thank you again. I appreciate so much you letting me come.